Hello everybody, it's Jordan from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to the channel. This is about low fertility, sub-replacement fertility. We got sub-replacement fertility in Ireland. I was reading how they have it in North Britain and South Britain as well. Record low fertility, and it looks like it's going down on a downward trajectory. It went very low in coronavirus, but you think as people are stuck at home with nothing else to do, nothing parties to go to, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife would get up to you know what. Wow. And it's really across the developed world, even the less developed world, it's going down. And to some extent, that's a good thing. You go back to the 19th century, I guess it would have been a fertility rate of six or something. So fertility rate is the average number of babies born per woman. We do it per woman, not per man, on the basis if a woman parturates, she tends to know about it, but a man could sire a child, children, and not even be aware. He might have only met the mother once, and so on. The father could die before the child is born. Sometimes no father is declared on the birth certificate. I mean, a woman might be in a relationship with two or more men at a time and not be sure of the paternity. I mean, these days we've got DNA tests, they might not actually do it. The father may not submit his DNA and so forth. So for a stable population, they see the fertility rate of 2.1. One child to replace the mother, one child to replace the father. What about that 0.1? Then that's because you've got to factor in that some children die in childhood. But anyway, so the United Kingdom now is down to about 1.5. Republic of Ireland were relatively high. We saw at 1.8. So up us in France were some of the highest in Europe. And so really all across the developed world, it's sub-replacement fertility. Eastern Europe is very low. Russia's very low, despite strenuous efforts to raise it. Places like Hong Kong, sort of 1.1 and so on. Wow, it's staggering. China's one-child policy in the 70s, 80s, 90s, sorry, in the 80s, 90s, noughties was too successful. They reversed that, but it doesn't seem to be having an effect. Likewise, Japan and so forth. Should we be worried? Well, I mean, I consider human life to have value. Don't you? And there's no more human life without babies. There's no future for the human race unless babies are born. And so there is an Aristotelian mean between, an average of six or whatever and none. So we're closer to the zero than to the six. Now, I'm not against people having six children or more children or whatever. And there are still, even in the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, some very large families. There's very, very unusual families to say 14 children, which a century ago would not have been that uncommon. The thing is, a lot of these kids would have made it to adulthood. So people are having fewer children, partly because they can, because obviously there's reliable contraception and so forth. I think people being sterilized, I think it's a completely honorable thing to do. They're saying one on done, or people don't want to have children at all. Fine. I mean, they're not morally obliged to have children, but it gets to a level that if too many people do that, then that's a bad thing. That's a lifestyle choice. Plus, we recognize that's a respectable lifestyle choice. I mean, I know people got married a generation or two ago. It seems they didn't even consider not having children. If you're going to get married, of course you're going to have children. And it would be children. It'd be two, at least three or four more like it. Remember someone who got married in 2001? She's saying to her husband, "We cannot have an only brat. There was the idea an only child is a bad child, is a spoiled child, is a freak." Remember at my French lesson years ago, Mr. Scott said, "Is anybody here an only child?" Nobody was an only child. I'm not saying that represents typicality, but just saying the 90s, to be an only child was unusual. That is in Romania, for example. Being an only child was maybe the norm, maybe half of children were the only child in the family, and so forth. And I don't think I'd ever heard of a family of more than four children. So, goodness, I would like every child to be amply provided for, that he or she not just has three meals a day and a roof over his or her head, but adequate clothes for summer and winter, and a few toys and a few treats, going to the zoo or the cinema. But attention, and it'll be difficult if there are a dozen children in the family. The thing is, people believe they have to have education, often into their 20s, fine, build a career. And it's rather difficult to be doing that long commute, the long hours, if you've got to go home by a certain time for your baby, bringing her, him to the nursery and so forth, and the baby's ill, taking time off. So people delaying that into their 30s, into their 40s, and see that fertility treatments are so good that women, even in their 50s, are sometimes conceiving. And I always think by 50, that was it. The ovaries are packed up, absolutely impossible to conceive naturally. But I realize now it actually is possible for some women over the age of 50 to conceive naturally, and others to conceive with fertility treatment well into their 50s. So goodness, I don't think teenage mothers are automatically bad mothers. Like if she's 16, it must be a disaster. She must be really, really bad. Just as I don't think women in their 50s are necessarily bad mothers. I think, so I would guess somewhere in the middle, maybe more about 30 might be all right. Ideally, mum and dad would at least be a very strong relationship, already own a home, already own a car if they need one, if they're not very urban, have completed their education, be financially secure, have done all the wild stuff they want to do, like climbing Mount Everest or competing the Olympics and so on. But I realize that babies are conceived in less idyllic circumstances, and those children have just as much right to life as you and me. Goodness. So I think we should be concerned because it's just got to a demographic death spiral. Why? So there's more economic insecurity than before because, a generation ago, certainly if you graduated from university, you were going to get a job with a middle class salary. You could get a mortgage, no problem. But even if you graduate from a Russell Group University in the United Kingdom, Trinity College Dublin, and the Republic of Ireland, you're not guaranteed to get a mortgage or even a decently paid job. So people think it's very, very expensive. Having a child is financially the worst thing you can possibly do. So they're not so sure about that. And obviously, babies are affordable, even in a bad situation. Think of the back in the 19th century, just how severe poverty was, just how malnutrition was widespread. Children didn't have shoes even in winter. Ireland, we had that terrible famine on God Mór, which killed 800,000 of us, possibly more. So somehow we could afford to have an average of six children. Look like Niger, one of the least developed countries in the world, and they've got a fertility rate of six. Somehow they can afford to have so many children. It's different expectations. There's this idea that each child gets his or her own bedroom. Well, no, I'm fine with two sisters sharing, or two brothers, two sisters and a brother, or whatever. One of my other ideas is other more wider households. This sister and her husband, this brother and his wife, and they have two children each, and they can have a bedroom for this couple, a bedroom from that couple, and the four cousins share together, or something like that. And I've known British Pakistani families who do kind of some things like that. Three brothers, all three are married, and they're whatever, a dozen children between them, and actually economies of scale in a sense of community and blah blah blah. Or multi-generation households, three generations or more. And it's good that the elderly grandparents are stimulated, are happier, the children have more care, a real relationship to their grandparents. No chance women are after top men and want to share him. Well, I think women are after top men. I've seen this how read about how women pre-screen men. If a man is married or with got a girlfriend, but makes him more attractive to some women, say he must be a good one, because that means he's sexually capable, or that he doesn't beat her up, or that he's not an alcoholic, or he's not a druggie, he's got enough money, things like that. But she's only staying with him because he's a good un. If he isn't single, what's wrong with him? And so on. Well, men don't usually see it that way. Positive the risk of being killed by her husband or whatever for making a move on some woman who's married or got a boyfriend. Goodness. So what can be done about it? I mean, the Republic of Korea made strenuous efforts to reverse their demographic death spiral, and they've had limited success. So we have to incentivize it, saying, I don't know, more free nursery hours. Let's see. A birth bonus, but cash, we don't know what the parents are going to spend it on. We'll provide nappies for free, baby food for free, things like that. More creches at workplaces, so make it more financially viable like that. I'm not sure what else we can do apart from some sort of publicity advertising campaign to emphasize the risks of leaving it too late. I mean, they say there's no such perfect time, and you have a Bulgarian lady and she's with a boyfriend for a few years. She became pregnant, so well, there's no ideal moment. Okay, I'm definitely not too young. Strong relationship. Yes, give birth to this baby. So that was it. Rather than leave it too late, and you may never have that chance. And obviously, the chance of complication rises and rises as the mother gets older. So I think it is a bit troubling the way it's so such a low fertility rate. But I mean, their affordability of housing is a thing, and obviously got higher expectations of what's a acceptable standard of living. So maybe we need to maybe we're too self-indulgent, really. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to my channel on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecatlin7@gmail.com, and do what you can to save the human race. Defend babies.